Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Listen, we're so blessed that you're listening each week to these programs. I get emails and notes each week from many of the listeners. If you would like to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., join us in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person, you can join our live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And the live stream, you can just go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. We're going to be talking about a great cloud of witnesses for the next few weeks. Last week, we talked about John Calvin. I'd like to talk about St. Augustine and the sovereign joy that he lived with. And we're going to use Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3 as kind of a foundational verse. And then we'll have some other verses for us to reflect upon. But just listen for this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. What a powerful image. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we are called to look to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We can also look into the lives of those who have gone before us and learn from them how they were able to run the race of life. Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 16, and then our New Testament reading is Romans 5. Before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we look to those who have gone before us. We look to the great cloud of witnesses to help us run the race that is set before us. Lord, turn our ordinary lives into extraordinary by the sovereign joy and grace through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our psalm is Psalm 16. Listen for God's word. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows, their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices and my body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol. Or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16. It's only 11 verses. I'd encourage you to just pick up one psalm. Read one psalm a day. The psalms are for, well, they're for heart wisdom, and the proverbs are for head wisdom. What a wonderful psalm. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, know that we have been justified by his blood. We will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Wow, there's a lot of deep theology in those 11 verses. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, I would gladly send you a Bible and put God's Word in your hands. Email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. Many scholars believe after Jesus and Paul, Augustine of Hippo is the most influential figure in the history of Christianity. Even the secular magazines like Time Magazine acknowledged Augustine in its September 29, 1985 issue. They devoted a full page to the summary of Augustine's life and influence. Time observed that Augustine, in each of the 16 centuries since his conversion, has continued to exert, quote, a major intellectual, spiritual, and cultural force. That's from Time Magazine. Christian History Magazine says, the whole development of Western life in all of its phases has powerfully affected by Augustine's teaching. Listen, we're going to talk for a few minutes about Augustine, and last week we talked about Calvin. We're going to talk about others, great cloud of witnesses in the next few weeks. Augustine had a profound influence on Martin Luther, who was an Augustinian monk, and of course on John Calvin, who we talked about last week. John Calvin immersed himself in Augustine's writings. He used over 342 quotes from Augustine in his Institutes of Christian Religion. Let's think of that. Who was this man, and why did he have such a powerful influence? Well, let's talk about him. I'll give you a little biographical sketch. Aurelius Augustinus was born November 13, 354 in Tagastat, a small town in North Africa near the city of Hippo, in which is now Algeria. His father, Patricius, a middle-income farmer, well, he was not a believer. However, his father worked hard to make sure that his own son received the best education in rhetoric that he could find. Augustine was sent to the city of Madura, 20 miles away, from the age of 11 to 15. Augustine's father died shortly before his 16th birthday. On a wonderful note, Augustine's father came to know Christ a year before he died. After spending a year at home, Augustine went to the city of Carthage until he was 20. Augustine's mother, Monica, was a very, very, very strong believer in Christ and prayed daily for her children. Before Augustine left for Carthage to study, his mother warned him earnestly, quote, not to commit fornication and above all, not to seduce any man's wife. Now, those were her instructions. Wow. In his own words, Augustine said, I went to Carthage where I found myself in the midst of a hissing cauldron of lust. My real need was for you, my God, who are the food of my soul. I was not aware that I was hungry. I was at the top of the school of rhetoric. I was pleased with my superior status and swollen with my conceit. It was my ambitions to be a good speaker, for in the unhallowed and inane purpose of gratifying human vanity. That's how Augustine defines his life without Christ. Left to himself, Augustine chose himself and all that pleased him. Well, it sounds a lot like what's going on in our world today. Doesn't sound very different. While Augustine was in Carthage, he took a concubine and lived with her for 15 years, having one son with her. From the ages of 19 to 30, Augustine taught rhetoric. Rhetoric is the art or science of using words effectively. Teaching first in Carthage, then in Rome, and finally in 384, he was invited to go to Milan as a professor. Milan was, quote-unquote, the capital and political seat of power and influence in the Western world at that time. Augustine was an up-and-coming professor who was engaged in the latest philosophical, political, and theological debates. He had the power to influence many young minds. For 9 years, Augustine was influenced by the dualistic religion of Manichaeism. Manichaeism mocked the Old Testament and gave no easy answer to the problem of evil by saying that there were two worlds. The first world was the world of light, love, mind, and spirit, and the second world was the world of darkness, evil, hate, and the flesh. Well, sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? A lot of these things are going on today. That was in the year 375. Think of what's happening in the year 2023. Augustine lived a life of self-gratification, not seeking God, and living a very unfulfilled life. It was late in August of 386. Augustine was 32 years old when he came to a crisis of his faith. In his own words from the Confessions of St. Augustine, he said, quote, "I flung myself down beneath a fig tree and gave way to the tears which streamed down my eyes. In my misery, I kept crying, 'How long shall I go on saying tomorrow, tomorrow? Why not now? Why not make an end of my ugly sins at this moment?' All at once, I heard the singing voice of a child in a nearby house. Whether it was the voice of a boy or a girl, I cannot say, but again and again it repeated the refrain, 'Take and read. Take it and read.' At this, I looked up, thinking hard whether there was any kind of game in which the children used to chant words like these, but I could not remember ever hearing them before. I stemmed my flood of tears and stood up telling myself that this could only be a divine command to open my book of scriptures and read the first passage on which my eyes fall." That's a quote from St. Augustine's Confession. It was at this time that he hurried back to where his friend was sitting and grabbed his Bible, and he turned to Romans 13:13-14. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're blessed that you listen each week to these programs. If you have any questions about faith or anything, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll try and respond. If you have a prayer concern, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer link, and we will pray for you. We're talking about Augustine, and he has this revelation, and he runs back, and he grabs his Bible, and he turns it to Romans 13:13-14. Listen to what he read. "Let us live honorably, as in that day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." In his own words, Augustine said, "I had no wish to read more and no need to do so. For in an instant, as I came to the end of the sentence, it was as if though a light of confidence flooded into my heart and all the darkness of doubt was dispelled." Augustine's mother lived to see the fulfillment of her prayers. Shortly after his conversion, he moved back to Hippo, where his mother died, and so did his son. For the first 32 years of his life, Augustine had never experienced God's grace. He lived to himself and his own desires. Let me pause and ponder that. He lived to himself and his own desires. But on the day in August of 386, God's great grace met the great Augustine, and for the next 44 years, he lived as an unmarried monk battling to share God's grace with all. His biggest battle was with a man by the name of Pelagius. Pelagius was a British monk who lived in Rome and taught that God's grace was good, but that it was not really necessary to accomplish salvation. He denied the doctrine of original sin and taught that human nature at its core is good and able to accomplish all that it was commanded to do. Sounds a lot like the philosophies being taught today. Doesn't that sound familiar? We humans are good and we're just getting better. Just leave us alone and we'll get better and better. I wonder how that might work for me since I've been so sick with a disease. I don't think so. What would have happened if I didn't go to the doctor? What would I get healed? Why do so many people who are suffering with spiritual sickness never seek the healer? It just overwhelms me. Why do so many people who are suffering with spiritual sickness never seek the healer? Augustine began writing books, the Confessions. He wrote on the freedom of the will. He wrote The City of God and many more, 95 books in all. Pick up a copy of his writing and see what Augustine has to say, for his writings have influenced our entire Western culture. The life and thought of Augustine brings us full circle to the root of joy. Augustine's understanding of God's great grace is this, quote, "Grace is God's giving us sovereign joy in God that triumphs over joy in sin." Let me repeat that. Grace is God's giving us sovereign joy in God that God triumphs over joy in sickness. Grace is God's giving us sovereign joy in God that triumphs over joy in sin. When Augustine, what Augustine is trying to say is that God works deep into the human heart to transform our spring of joy so that we love God more than we love sin. For Augustine, loving God was being so satisfied with God and so delighted in all that God does that God's commandments cease to be a burden and become a true joy in our lives. The Apostle Paul put it this way in our reading in Romans. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." This justifying and sanctifying grace of God brings us sovereign joy, a joy that triumphs over all other joys. Augustine loved to read the Psalms and wrote a commentary on them. One of his favorite Psalms was Psalm 16, which we read earlier, most likely because of verse 11. Verse 11 says, "You show me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So what? Let's talk about that for a minute. So what does the life of a man who lived more than 1,600 years ago have to do with us today? I always say, you know, what do these ancient scriptures mean to us? But what does the life of a man who lived 1,600 years ago have to do with us today? What can we learn from Augustine? Two words, sovereign joy. Sovereign joy. Well, maybe a good so what question. Are you experiencing the fullness of joy that comes from the presence of God? Pause and ponder that. Are you experiencing the fullness of joy that comes from the presence of God? Augustine's life is a model for us. Augustine had it all. He was the happening professor of rhetoric at the most prestigious university in the world. But did he have the sovereign joy? Augustine teaches us that our hearts are made for God. One of his most famous lines in his writings is this, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace till they find rest in you." You made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace till they rest in you. So maybe a good so what question in this. Who or what are we resting in today? Who or what are we resting in today? Boy, oh boy, over the past 2 weeks, I've had to rest. Doctor's orders. You know how hard it is to rest when you have lots of things to do? I am sure many of you understand. Resting has been a very hard lesson for me. I thought going to seminary and learning to trust God with all and in all was hard. In seminary, I learned my Greek and my Hebrew, theology, church history, ethics, and pastoral care and counseling. But one of the biggest lessons I learned didn't come from a textbook. Through my 3 years of seminary, God taught me to trust, to confidently rely, to believe in God and believe in God's promises that are found in the scriptures. In seminary, God gave me an acrostic for trust. T, to our rest under salvation's tree. T-R-U-S-T, to rest under salvation's tree. That's what trust is, to rest under salvation's tree. I thought I had been resting under salvation's tree, but I had to learn more. God is still teaching me the R, rest. I've been doing a lot of resting these past few weeks, or at least I think I have. You might get another response from my wife or daughter or family. As I've been resting, I've been studying different scriptures, verses on rest. I've even come up with an acrostic for rest. REST, restore, enjoy, submit, and trust. REST, restore, enjoy, submit, and trust. Restore, Lord, restore to me my health, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual health. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore me, Lord. If you want these acrostics, I'll email them to you. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Restore. Lord, restore my health. Restore it physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Restore me to the joy of my salvation. Restore me, Lord. Enjoy. Enjoy each day, each moment, each hour, giving them all to God. Submit. Submit all you are going through to the sovereign hand of God. All things pass through the nail-scarred hands of Christ. Take your hands if you're not driving and put one finger into the palm of the other hand and try and drive it through and say, all things pass through the nail-scarred hands of Christ. God knows all our trials, troubles, and tribulations that we're facing right now. We can either submit and rest, or we can wrestle and lose. Come out walking with a displaced hip like Jacob did. Trust. Trust completely. Trust fully. Remember what God said about resting? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. It's my prayer for each one of us that we will become like little children with a little bubble maker. Absolute uncanned joy, sovereign joy, the joy we find and experience when Jesus Christ lives in our heart. Jesus Christ, God's amazing grace, grace that enters our hearts and sets us free from whatever sins weigh us down. Remember that the battle to be holy, the battle of sanctification, is a battle fought on the level of what we love, what we cherish, treasure, and delight in. May we all come to know that God made us for himself, and that our hearts will not find rest until we found rest in God. In 1981, on a freezing cold January wintry night, I finally gave my heart back to Christ. I found my rest, my peace, and my joy. Like those little children with a bubble maker, I found the sovereign joy of all joy, the joy that tops all other joy. I have found joy that only Christ can bring. Wow. Why settle for this less, or why settle for or other things when we can have the sovereign joy of Christ? Psalm 16, verse 11. You show me the path of life, and in your presence there is a fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May God show us the path of life. May we all experience the sovereign joy of God's love and grace that redeems us, cleanses us, and claims us. May we all experience the pleasures forevermore as we celebrate the joy, 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 joy deep in our hearts. Let us pray. Lord God, I don't know where each person is that's listening, but you do. You know their hearts, you know their trials, you know their fears, their doubts, their guilt, their shame, and you want to touch them with your joy. I pray that whoever is listening to these messages right now will come to put their trust, put their hope, put their faith in you, and find their sovereign joy, in your sovereign joy, in and through you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you need prayer, contact me. I'll pray with you. I want you to know the sovereign joy that God has for you. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.